Good morning, church. Good to see each one present this morning. We have some that's been away that are back with us. We have others that are ill, unable to be here this morning. Brother Michael has a migraine, so he's just doesn't feel up to being here. Hopefully he gets over that pretty quick. It's great that the congregation here has not been hit by the virus that's been going around. We've been very lucky. All of us know friends and others that have had it and didn't make it. So we need to be very thankful with a group this size that we've made it through it this far. One thing that I'd like to bring up this morning is we need to start considering some new elders and some deacons here at Sunrise. So start praying for this and giving it some consideration. There's some of us that's kind of got up over the hilltop and we've started down the other side health-wise. And mentally, we've been there for a long time. But we need to start considering that here with the number of people that we have. And start giving this some serious thought. Again, it's grateful to be able to come together in a congregation. You know, we started meeting here in 1963. That's been quite a few Sundays ago. And our building is in pretty good shape, except for some water damage, and I guess we'll be getting started on it. The insurance finally sent us a check to start working on it. So we need to keep this in mind also, and we'll be looking for the right people to start doing the work on our building back there where the water damage is. As we begin the service, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, again, we're grateful for the privilege that we have here in this country, here in this town, this county, that we can come together on the Lord's Day, that we can come together to commune around your table, that we can remember the sacrifices that was given for each of us and try to pattern our lives in a manner that will be uplifting to those around about us. And again, Father, be with those that are unable to be with us today, those of our number and other people in similar circumstances, those that are in the homes, hospitals, prisons, other places that didn't have the opportunity of assembling together upon the first day of the week. And again, be with us here at Sunrise and guide our footsteps as best you can. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. Hear, O Israel. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. Hear, O Israel, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, singing Alleluia, Alleluia, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Our scripture this morning will be Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be also glorified with him. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I come before you. Thank you for this morning and this time that we have together. I pray that you just be with those that are not able to be here with us. And Lord, I pray that as we dive into your word, that you just speak to us and that we would learn from you and just grow more and more each and every day. I thank you that that we can be considered your adopted children and heirs with Christ also in the glory through Jesus' blood on the cross. I thank you that you made that possible, that we no longer have to live in bondage to sin, but that we can be free from all that and be united with you one day. I pray that you just be with each and every one of us. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs, finding our forgiveness here. We in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family, of which the Lord is head. us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
If you'll go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. There is a simple phrase that's gaining popularity, I don't know about everywhere, at least in our country, at least in this current time. Sounds harmless and good on the surface, but that phrase is speak your truth, not the truth, speak your truth. And this morning as we prepare to take communion, let's focus on the one true truth. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 9, Paul tells Timothy, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Let's pray. God, as we come before you now and we prepare our minds to take this bread, which represents the body of your Son who was sent to earth to save all mankind and that was hung on a tree, mutilated and murdered according to your will, we ask that we take this bread with the right mindset and with the truth and what that sacrifice that you brought to earth means for our hope of existence after we die here on this earth. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Is everybody familiar with the show, the old show, Duck Dynasty? Yeah? The Goofy show? Yeah. I listened to a podcast of Phil and Jace and Al, and it's a flip side of what the show was. They sit down and they just go through scripture, break it down, and of course there's some hijinks along the way too, but they, in one of the episodes I was listening to last week, Phil made just he might not have thought it was profound and might not have intended it that way. But he said something to the effect of, he's like, salvation's easy. He said, salvation is simple. He said, everybody wants to sound smart these days and lots of words and this and that. He said, it's simple. He's like, God loved us. He sent Jesus. He died. And if you accept that, you're good. And he said it in a more, I don't know that it was eloquent, but he had more thought and scriptural that went along with it. But it got me to thinking about that truth and the truth and how just it's not complex. It's not simple. When you have faith in God and that his son was sent and spilled this blood, that we're take this cup that represents, it's just, it's so simple and just, it gets overthought and even overlooked sometimes. But let's pray for the cup there. God, as we come now and gather around this table as you instructed, and we take this fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was spilled out of Jesus on the cross. Take our minds back to through all the clutter and all the words, and just let us have it at the forefront of our mind what it represents and what it means to us as Christians and believers. And we ask these things through your son's sacrifice. Amen. Let's talk to God. Lord, we are a blessed people, more than we even probably realize. Help us to be mindful of that as we give back to further your word. And let this offering be used in a fashion that will bring more people to your kingdom. And help us to live that out in our daily walk. We ask these things through the loving sacrifice of your Son. Amen.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. Hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. In the day of trouble, 'neath the shadow of your wings, hide me away, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. In the day of trouble, 'neath the shadow of your wings, give me your peace, O Lord. Safe in your dwelling place, safe in your dwelling place. In the day of trouble, 'neath the shadow of your wings, safe in your dwelling place. Hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. In the day of trouble, 'neath the shadow of your wings, hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All that is within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All that is within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Break my heart, dear Lord. Tear the barriers down. Show me in convicting tears the glories of your crown. My heart is hard, my soul so weak. The ways of evil cut so deep. I need you, Lord, to come inside and gently break my heart. My sin is great, but I can see the glory set for me. Show me, Father, where to start, and gently break my heart. My heart is hard, my soul so weak. The ways of evil cut so deep. I need you, Lord, to come inside and gently break my heart. My heart is hard, my soul so weak. The ways of evil cut so deep. I need you, Lord, to come inside and gently break my heart.
So Michael is out with a migraine today, so you'll get to listen to me blabber on for a little bit. I asked Chester to do that last song before the lesson because that's kind of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about blessing through brokenness. God uses our brokenness to bless us. Before we get started, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to look at your word. And we pray, Lord, that you open our hearts and let us accept something from it and something that can apply to our lives and change our lives and make our lives more glorious for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when he told me that he wasn't going to be here, I started thinking about what we could talk about this morning, and this idea of being blessed through brokenness came to my mind. And the first thing that came to mind was, for whatever reason, Jacob. In Genesis. So we're going to be in Genesis 32 to start with this morning. Prior to this, Jacob, most of us know the story. Jacob conned his brother out of his birthright. And then, you know, there's more time that's passed on up to this point, but Jacob's fixing to go back to his homeland And he's scared to death. He's scared that Esau is still going to be mad at him. He's going to come after him. And so he prays to God for protection from his brother. Starting in verse 9 is where we're going to start reading. I'm going to read 9 to 12 real quick. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So he's on his knees, and it made me think. There's an old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. I don't know if y'all have heard that saying or not, but that's an old saying. You know, if you're in a wartime and you're in a foxhole, you're praying, oh God, please protect me, you know, take care of me, provide me the courage, the strength and protection that I need to be able to get out of this war. So there's no atheist in a foxhole. They're not going in there empty handed. They're praying whether they realize they know God or not. You even hear people say it all the time when something dangerous or scary is fixing to happen. They say, oh my God, all the time. This is the first thing that pops out of their mouth. I think a lot of times it's borderline blasphemous or being in vain when it's getting used. But a lot of times when people are scared, that's the first thing they say is, oh my God. They're praying to God. There's something fixing to happen. Jacob is praying to God. He thinks his brother's going to kill him. So he goes through and as he's getting closer to time, he sends some messengers to go see Esau. And Esau tells him, I'm coming to see him. You go tell Jacob, I'm coming to see him. And so the messengers come back and tell him. And Jacob sends out a couple of groups with gifts of livestock and stuff and tells them, meet him on the way. You know, this is from Jacob. This is from your servant Jacob. And so he stays behind as he sends out these gifts ahead. He stays behind one more night. And then he's going out to go see Esau. Well, that gets us to where we get to the broken part. We're going to start reading again in verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for this day is broken, or for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. So Jacob wrestles with God. And in the end of it, neither one of them won the fight, but the man reached up and touched his hip and broke it. I was reading something about this earlier, and I never knew this, and I didn't confirm it, so don't hold me to this. But from what it was saying, it said that the name Jacob kind of meant deceiver or convincer. I haven't looked that up to make sure, but if that's the case, then their point that they made was really good, because it said that God would not give him his blessing until he admitted who he was. And he said, my name's Jacob. And then by definition, being a convincer, a deceiver, and then he said, you've admitted who you are, now I'm going to remake you into Israel. And I thought that was a very interesting point. I just didn't have time to look that up to make sure that that was right or not. But if it is, that was pretty interesting. But Either way, God struggled with Jacob. Jacob's struggle didn't end until he was broken. Because you break your hip, your fight's over. I don't care who you are. You break a hip, your fight's over. But his struggle with him didn't end until he broke his hip. And that's when God blessed him. And that made me think of Romans chapter 8, which is where we're going to go next. I think Romans is one of the most interesting and confusing books I've ever read in my life. So in Romans chapter 8, it talks about life in the Spirit. The whole chapter of 7, I almost can't even read it without getting tongue-tangled. It's all, I do not do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do. It's all very confusing to read and stuff, but I think it kind of gets summed up in chapter 8, because 7 talks about living life by the flesh. You're living by the law of sin and all this other stuff. And life in chapter 8, we talk about life in the Spirit. 1 through 11 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm going to stop there for right now. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. This is saying you can't serve two masters. Your mind's set on the flesh. Verse 7 calls it hostile to God. I've underlined that in my Bible. If there's something that says something's hostile to God, or hostile to God, that's big red flags and bells and whistles and everything else. That's getting your attention. If you're doing something that's hostile to the Creator, to the one that can decide where your soul's going to end up for eternity, that's something to pay attention to. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. You can't serve two masters. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. It takes me back to the last time I was up here talking. We was talking about the vessel that was broken and emptied and then healed and filled with the Spirit. If we are filled of the Spirit, we're no longer of the flesh, which is fantastic news, because that takes that whole hostile thing away. That's got to be the scariest verse in the Bible, man, being hostile to God. Oh, so when we've been broken, when we've been emptied of our flesh, and we've been refilled with our Spirit, God used brokenness to bless us. And because of that, we move on to what Matt read for us. Because of that, we become heirs with Christ. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, according that we may also be glorified with him. God uses brokenness to bless us. I know it was short, but that's what I had time to come up with this morning. I don't know if anybody has any needs or if anyone needs to put on Christ as your Lord and Savior. We'd be happy to take your confession and baptize you this morning. If you would please come while we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is best if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Please be seated.
Good morning. And be sure and pat him on the back there. I don't know many men in here that could, with short notice, put a lesson together. Truly a powerful message. The Lord's strength is clearly visible whenever we are broken, when we hand things over to him. I've got a few announcements that were handed to me this morning. Michael, of course, is out. He's suffering from a migraine, so we just need to pray for him that he'll be relieved of that pain and be able to join us again soon. Gary Cash. Yep, he's still here. So he seems to be doing better. He's getting his voice back, I believe. So good to see him here as well. We need to remember Terry. She's had a lot of struggles. We all know that, but she's, we definitely need to remember her in our prayers, remember Scotty, and just remember the whole family. Just pray for her healing. And Becky Vickers seems to be doing well, and hopefully soon we'll be able to, go visit her. I'm assuming we can still send her cards and phone calls. So be sure to reach out to her and reach out to all those that are sick and they're not with us. Are there any announcements this morning? Yes.
Love the children's song, Paper Drive, starts for us this month through June.
Okay, so the Lubbock Children's Home Paper Drive starts this month through June. Okay. Yeah, all that. So just make sure you bring all those in and then we can get that over to them. Anything else? Yes.
My brother and his wife, they were on the prayer list a couple months ago for their baby that they're about to have. They're going to deliver on Thursday. So just prayers that goes according to the plan that they have set out. According to God's plan, of course. But
okay, remind me again your brother and his wife's name. Carson Russell and Sarah Russell. So with the baby on the way, we need to remember to keep them in our prayers that they have a smooth delivery. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, we need to be sure and keep Walter and his family in our prayers with the passing of his wife. Just prayers of comfort for them. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you again that we can gather here this morning with our family and in your presence and give you the praise and the glory and the worship. We pray that our worship this morning was pleasing to you. We also continue to pray that not just our worship this morning, but our daily worship to you is always pleasing. We thank you so much for your son, for his example. Lord, we thank you for your spirit that dwells in us and that guides us. Lord, we continue to pray for those that are not with us this morning. We pray for Michael and for Terry and Becky and just pray that you give them health, give them healing. Lord, we're so thankful for answered prayers. We're so glad to see that Gary is back with us this morning. Just pray that you continue to give him healing and return his voice to him fully. Lord, we pray that you continue to be with the others that were mentioned this morning and with those families, with the loss that they've had, with the new life on the way. Lord, we just ask that you help us to always look to you, knowing that you're in control, that your will always be done, and that you have given us the charge of spreading your love, spreading your message, and sharing your gospel with those that are lost as we once were lost, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.